there, I will lead us in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would speak to us this morning, that you would speak to our full person, to our heads, to our hearts, to our hands. Undoubtedly, there are some here who need to be comforted due to trials and cares and various issues going on in their life and the world around them. I pray that you would provide them with encouragement. There are some here who need to be convicted of sin. Lord, we pray that you would send forth your convicting spirit to convict them and lead them unto repentance. It is undoubtedly true that all of us in this room need you. We need your Son. We need your grace. And Lord, I pray that you would give more of yourself to us this morning through the ministry of the Word. Help us to believe the words that you inspired here written, and help us to apply them to our lives. And there are some here who do not yet know your Son. They do not know you or your salvation. Oh Lord, I pray that you would use this gathering here this morning, the songs that have already been sung, the one that will be sung, the prayers that have been offered, and the ministry of the Word that we are about to partake of, I pray that you would use it all to draw the unbeliever, the unconverted, to your Son Jesus. We pray this in His name. Amen. As you're able, please stand in the honor of reading and hearing God's Word. Again, Psalm 46. We'll cover the whole psalm. Beginning in verse 1, David writes, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord. How he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. May God bless the reading and hearing of His Word. You may be seated. I did not plan to preach this passage this morning. I thought in the wake of the events that took place yesterday, as just God has laid this passage on my heart, and I think it shares with us truths that can provide us encouragement. When we see the world around us going more and more and delving more and more into chaos, when our lives are plagued by trials of various kinds, maybe even when we are just a person who is prone to worry, how should we respond? It is true that Jesus tells us that we are to not be of the world. But let's not forget that he does say that we are still in the world. Moreover, we are told in Scripture numerous times that this world is not our final home, and our citizenship is in heaven. But until we reach heaven, this is our temporary home. This is the place in which we must live. This is the place in which we must seek together to glorify our God. This is a place where we will encounter trial after trial, temptation after temptation. And David helps us. How should we respond to such things? The charge this morning may be frustrating to you at first, but we are given good reason to obey it. And the charge is, be still. Be still. It's like those other commands in Scripture that we all so dearly love. When Jesus says, be anxious for nothing. Or when Paul says, do not worry about anything, but in all things rejoice. Or the command to be patient. Or the command to wait for the Lord. Be still. It's not something that our sinful nature likes to do. We don't want to be still. We want to act. And sometimes action is necessary, but we want to act quickly and decisively. We fool ourselves into believing if we worry about something, we can actually fix it. But that's never the case. God's word numerous times tells us to not be afraid. On other occasions, it tells us not to worry. On other occasions, it tells us to wait. On other occasions, it tells us to take heart and be of good courage. And then another way to say that is be still. Or when we go to 2 Corinthians, we find the Apostle Paul, he exemplifies this quality on multiple occasions in that book, in the very first half of it mostly. Time and time again, he keeps saying, but we do not lose heart. And it's crazy when you read all the stuff that he was going through, and yet he and his companions keep saying and keep telling the Corinthian church that they have not lost heart. He had been whipped with the cat of nine tails. He had been beaten with rods. He had been shipwrecked. He had been bitten by snakes. He had been abandoned by friends. He had been stoned. And yet, though his outer self is wasting away, Paul says, I don't lose heart. All that Paul was doing in those circumstances was applying what David tells us here. Be still. Why should we do that? How do we do that? That is what we will consider this morning. And there are three reasons that God gives us in this passage that are worthy of our consideration. And if you wrestle with them and you apply them to yourself, you will, Christian, be able to be still. So number one, be still because God is safety. Be still because God is safety. Look at verse 1 and read it with me. David writes, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Notice, he doesn't just say God is a refuge. He doesn't just say God is a present help in time of trouble. He applies the truth to himself. He says, God is our refuge. He takes ownership of that truth. God is his refuge. God is the refuge of all who call upon his name. He is their strength. The source of strength. He provides them with the power and the sustenance they need to survive and thrive even in the midst of difficulty. God is our refuge and strength. In Vista Baptist Church, we could say these words just as much as David could. God is our refuge and strength. And just as much as he was in David's day, a very present help, he is still that now. God is our refuge, strength, and a very present help in trouble. David does not specify what kind of trouble. And thus we might glean from that that it could apply to literally any trouble. It could apply to persecution. It could apply to violence. It could apply to illness. It could apply to confusion. Whatever the trouble is, you could insert it in there. And God is a present help for that trouble. It could be trouble in your marriage, in your parenting, whatever it is. Or if you just look at the world events and you are caused to worry and you are troubled by them, God is a very present help. David is not lying. He knows this to be true. And look how he responds. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives away, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. This is apocalyptic language. The entire cosmos is at war, is what David is saying. Even though everything begins to just go into utter chaos, he says, we will not be afraid. And again, that's because of what he says in verse 1. Even if the entire world were to pass away, if God is our God, he is a sufficient refuge. Even if all the peoples of the world stood against God and his people, God can still protect them because God is greater than the world. He is greater than the seas. He is greater than the mountains. He is greater than the earth. He is the very definition and place of safety. Do you feel unsafe? Then go to the Lord. Are you frightened? Are you worried? Go to the Lord. And you will find him to be just as David describes him here. God is happy to be your refuge. God delights in being your strength. God enjoys protecting his people. And he will. And there is none who can keep him from doing it. That is why Paul can say in Romans 8, if God is for us, who can stand against us? Can unbelievers stand against God's people in the end? Can the demonic hordes that do exist and are at work invisibly, can they stand against us if God is for us? Can the very gates of hell stand against God's church if God is for his church? The answer is no. God is for us. Then no one and nothing can stand against us. And believer, don't forget it. Don't forget it. And if you are aware, and most of us know ourselves well enough to know whether or not we are the type of person who is inclined to forget it, surround yourself with people who won't forget it and won't let you forget it, who will remind you of these core biblical realities that provide us with guidance in all the minutiae and minor things of life. Be still, because God is safety. Number two, be still because God is sovereign. Because God is sovereign. Look at verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. Do not make a mistake. This is not mainly speaking of a physical city known as Jerusalem. The city of the Most High, the dwelling place in which God abodes, is His church. It's His people. That is why Paul says in 1 Corinthians that our bodies are a temple of what? The Holy, or rather who? The Holy Spirit. So who is it that this is speaking of when it says the city of God? It's speaking of you, believer. It's speaking of you, church. And it tells us that there is a river, something that provides sustenance and life, that make glad the church of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. And what is that river? It's God Himself speaking to us through His Word and through His ordinances. Jesus speaks of, and He says to the woman at the well, He says, I will offer you living water. When Jesus describes Himself, He says, I am the bread of life. He is the source of sustenance. He is the source of gladness for the people of God. It's speaking of Christ and His gospel. It's speaking of God's word. And it says that this river, this provision of God, it makes glad the city of God. In other words, a holy church should be a happy church because we have God in our midst. There's nothing better than that. Nothing. You could strip the walls of this building. Heaven forbid, you could strip the air conditioning and the fans. You could strip the building down entirely, and if we met in that lot across the road, we would still have ample reason to be happy because they cannot take God away from us. And He will provide us with the spiritual provision that we need. He goes on to describe this reality in verse 5. Look there, it says, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. Shall the churches of God, the true churches of God, ever fall and disappear in their entirety from the world? Shall the enemies of God ever be entirely victorious over God's people? The answer is no. Because the one who dwells with God's people, God Himself, is greater than the one who indwells the world, the evil one. God is greater than the devil. And it's not even close. God will utter a word when Christ returns, God the Son incarnate. He will speak words and Satan will be cast into judgment forever. He will hardly even break a sweat. In fact, He won't, because He is that much greater than the evil one. The evil one may be more powerful than you and me on our own, but if God is with us, we shall stand and never be moved. Again, in verse 5, the second half, He says, God will help her when the morning dawns. God's help always eventually comes. After the night, there is always going to be morning. God's help will come to His people. And then look at verse 6 and 7. The nations rage and the kingdoms totter. He utters His voice and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. David realizes sometimes the nations will rage. Sometimes in the world, kingdoms will totter. There will be social and political upheaval. There has been ever since sin entered the world. It is not new. and it does not surprise or scare our God, and it should not surprise nor scare us. God, He utters His voice, and the earth melts. The kingdom of the world, the earth in which they dwell, all is the jurisdiction of the Most High God, and all of it is under His sovereign reign and rule. There is not one molecule, one particle in all of existence that God does not reign over it, whether good or bad. Our God is sovereign. And it's good news that those of us who are in His Son, that the God that David is describing, He's on our side. Again, he says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Christian, you're included in that. You are a part of the our. You are the part of the us. Don't lose heart. Be still. Your God is sovereign and He is safety. Number three, be still because God is successful. Be still because God is successful. Look at verse 8. Come, behold the works of the Lord. How He has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow, shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Doesn't say that He might do these things. It says that He does these things. Our God is the one that will bring peace to a world that has no peace. And what we see here that David explains, we see it in part now. For prior to the coming of Christ, there was a dividing wall between the ethnic Jews and the Gentiles, and Christ has broken down that wall, and now we can all be one in Christ. In Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, and then he goes on to list several other distinctions and divisions that we make amongst ourselves. Jesus brings unity to those who formerly only had division. He makes enemies into friends. And we already can see that even today. But the fullness of what we read here has not yet happened. Not all spears have been shattered. Not all bows have been broken. Not all chariots have been burnt with fire. But they will. One day there will be no need for war. None. All wars will come to an end. War is an awful, awful thing. And wars have raged, just as I said earlier, from the beginning of sin entering the world all the way until now. And one day, thanks be to God, He will bring even those to an end. And nothing will be able to stop Him from doing that. And then read verse 10. This is where I get the big idea that I've been pressing upon you. It is a command from God. He says, be still and know that I am God. A good reason that you can be still is because you are not God and God is. Most often, we fail at being still because we try and take things on that are slightly or greatly above our pay grade. You are only human. You are the pinnacle of God's creation. You are the apple of God's eye. You are of the species of creature that is made in God's image to reflect His glory. One day you will rule with Christ over all the earth, but at the end of the day, you are still a creature. You are limited by space. You are limited by time. You are corrupted by sin. There is only so much that you can do. You are beset with illness and age and frailty. In other words, I'm just saying, you're not God. It's okay to let God be God. You don't have to do it. Be still, because there is a God and you are not Him. Be still, God says, and know that I am God. There could be a footnote or fine print there and says, and you're not. And then He says, again promising, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Paul in Philippians 2 tells us that after Christ's humiliation, He experiences exaltation, and that one day every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. The enemies of God may stand up in defiance and shake their fists now at God and His people, but they won't always stand. They too will bend the knee. Whether they want to or not, they will be forced to their knees, and they will cry out that Jesus is Lord. God will be exalted. He will be. No matter what happens today, tomorrow, or the next day, no matter what happens in our land or in our country, no matter what happens in our homes, God will be exalted. In other words, He will succeed and He will win. And if you're with Him and you're on His side and you are numbered among one of His people, you will win too. Be still. And know that He is God. And then verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. You really shouldn't miss this, because He basically just says the same thing that He said several times already. God is with us. God is our fortress. He is an impenetrable fort or castle of which none of our enemies can get into to do us eternal harm. He is our fortress. I pray that our church building stands for a very, very, very long time. But the fortress that God is stood before our church building did, it will stand long after our church building and any other building. It is amazing to go and look at ancient architecture and see how buildings built thousands of years ago somehow still stand. But God stood before them too, and He will stand long after every building has fallen. God is your fortress. Christian, be still. Do not be discouraged by what you watch on the news or what you read online. Do not be discouraged. Moreover, if your health is failing you, if you are beset with the difficulties of age, or if you're just discouraged for some other reason, be still. Because it's still true that God is safety. It's still true that God is sovereign. It's also still true that God is successful. We may fail from time to time, but He doesn't. We rarely have control of most things going on in our life, but God does. There are times where we feel very unsafe. But even in those times, our eternity is secure and wrapped up in the God who loved us and gave His Son for us. An unbeliever, all these things I've said of the people of God this morning, they can be true for you too. If you want to know safety, if you want to know the one who is sovereign, if you want to know true and lasting and eternal success, if you want to be able to be still when the world is in utter chaos, it can only come by knowing God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Trust in Jesus, unbeliever, and your sins will be forgiven. Trust in Jesus, and the promise of eternal life will belong to you. Trust in Jesus, and you can be still. The Heidelberg Catechism says, "What is our only hope in life and in death?" And the beginning of the answer, paraphrased, is that we belong, both body and soul, to the Lord Jesus Christ. The difference between a person who can be still and a person who can't be still is this simple. You either belong to Jesus, and God is your God, and you are numbered among His people, or you don't. And my prayer is that everyone in this room, everyone who can hear my voice, would be one of Jesus' people. And may God help each and every one of us to be still. Let's pray.